Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Get your Rocket Mortgage on, son. Sunday, it's an NFL and CBS doubleheader. First, Mahomes and the Chiefs open their 2019 home schedule at Arrowhead against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Should be a great game then. Bridgewater and the Saints head to the Pacific Northwest to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. A full day of football starts with JB and the guys on the NFL today on CBS. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. You got to switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Best-selling author John Gordon is joining us. He's got another winner out. He's been a bestseller six times at least. He's written upwards of 20 books. The guys, every book he does is a killer. People love it, and teams love this guy. You name it. He's worked with all of them. It's insane, this guy's creds with teams, from Dabo Swinney at Clemson to, you know, the Dodgers, the Pirates, the Eagles, the Falcons, the Miami Heat. He's worked with the Rams. He's worked with the Chicago Cubs. He's even spent time at West Point with the Cadets. So he's an incredible speaker and author. He joins us about his new book, The Coffee Bean. How you doing there, John?
I'm doing good. Great to be with you.
So you grew up on Long Island, and now you're down in Florida. Tell me, what did you get out of working with all those teams and guys like Dabo Swinney? You're around a lot of fascinating people. It has to help you in some capacity or another.
It does. You know, I'm there speaking, but I'm also learning from every coach I work with. So Dabo, his belief, his leadership, his optimism, I've never seen a coach and a leader like him. He believes in his players more than they believe in themselves. Worked with Sean McVay right the last 3 years. I talked to Sean when he just got the job. He was just 30 years old. To see the way he has led, you know, with the Dominican Sue, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib last year in that team, there wasn't one problem, right? They were all issues on other teams, but Sean led with such a great conviction and developed relationships to invest in those guys. And then you see how he builds the culture, and now you see success. So I learned from a lot of these guys, you know, invest in the culture, invest in the root, develop the relationships, and you get the fruit.
Do you like when you get involved with these teams, when you go in there, what is the goal? What is the plan when you're dealing with all these, let's face it, if you're dealing with all these major league teams or NFL teams, you're talking about a lot of, you know, wealthy athletes. And then there's a lot of that, like even in your book, I think that in The Coffee Bean, there's some semblance of talking about the we before me. There's a lot of these guys in the NFL, like we're dealing with now, this Brown character, Jalen Ramsey, these guys that put themselves before everyone else. You talk about that a lot. What's it like dealing with the teams and you see all these guys that could either care less about anything you say because they got so much money, they just are like, who is this guy?
You know, when you first walk in, they might be thinking that, but when you're sharing things that can help them improve and you're sharing things that can help them be a great team, everyone wants to be part of a great team. You know, no one wants to be part of a crappy team, right? They want to be great. And so when you can help them become part of a great team, and yeah, they made a lot of money, but they all want to be some part of something bigger than themselves. And so I was with the Browns this year, right? And you know, Freddie Kitchens is doing a great job developing the relationships with the players. OBJ was there. I mean, great guy. Really, gets a bad rap by some people. Then you're with him and you're like, wow, this guy really cares about his team. He's a craftsman, shows up every day to strive to be great. So, you know, I've just seen like that guys that seem like they're a problem, when you get a coach that invests in them and you create a culture that they want to be a part of, like the Patriots, you have success. So a lot of times it's leadership and culture. But when you're there during training camp, like I'm, or spring training for baseball, I was with the Cubs this year, tough loss tonight, right, to see that. It's always about how they bounce back, how they come back stronger, and how they can get better. So I've had actually a lot of great experience with guys that might be considered, you know, problems in other teams.
Or poison. You were at Emory, I'm seeing that, in Atlanta. Did you get motivated when you were getting your master's there to start writing these great books and becoming a speaker?
No, my motivation, by the way, I used to come see you all the time in Atlanta when you were there. So I actually was a fan of yours for a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got my master's in teaching at Emory. And for me, my wife almost left me when we moved to Jacksonville. I was 30 years old. I was miserable, negative. I had two small children.
Right.
I lost my job, and everything was falling apart. And that's when I just said, what am I born to do? Why am I here? Writing and speaking came to me. Never thought I'd be working with all these teams and organizations, right? But that started me on this journey. And then I wrote a book called The Energy Bus. All these coaches started to use it. Jack Del Rio was actually the first coach in 2007 with the Jaguars who used that book and brought me in to speak. Then Mike Smith did with the Falcons. And after that, it just took off.
Yeah, I'm friends with Dimitroff. Did they love you with Blank and Dimitroff and the Falcons and Smith?
They did for those first 5 years. and then those last two, when Mike wasn't doing too well and lost his job. Mike and I actually wrote a book called You Win in the Locker Room First.
Right.
Where we talk about what went right those first 5 years, what went wrong the last two. He actually shares his mistakes and what he did wrong, which is actually very refreshing. And so, yeah, that was a great experience working with them for all those years. I was there when Matt Ryan was a rookie. Turned them around from 4-12 to 11-5, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like those books. Like I read Tillman Fertitta's book about the, you know, what to do when your business is failing, and you know, instead of all people writing about how wonderful they are, how rich they are, how fabulous, and how much money they're making, I loved hearing or learning about what to do when you're dealing with crisis and dealing with failure and dealing with rejection, dealing with, you know, they're going to padlock the doors of your company. I find it fascinating. You just said that you learned a lot from guys, you know, from their mistakes and from how to recover from being in a hole.
Yes, that's how you learn the most. Like, what did we do wrong? How can we get better? How can we improve? And so I learn a lot, and a lot of these coaches learn a lot from what they did wrong. But you're right. A lot of the books are like, this is how we won the championship, and this is all the great things I did. But with Mike in this book, we wanted to share what he did wrong. I can't tell you how many coaches have brought me in to speak because they read that book and they said how it was so refreshing to learn from Mike's mistakes. And they looked at their GM, they looked at their owner, and they said, okay, we're disconnected right now. We got to get reconnected again, because if you don't have an owner and you don't have a GM and coach that are if they're not connected, you will not have a great team in the long run. A team that's not connected at the top will crumble at the bottom.
John Gordon with us, the great author and speaker. He's got a great book out. It came out this summer, The Coffee Bean. It really is fascinating about, is it not about Damon? Damon West, is he the guy that did the book with you, the story about this guy becoming a meth addict?
We did it together. He actually wrote an autobiography called The Changes about his life. The Coffee Bean is an analogy that he learned in prison from a fellow prisoner that said, look, prison is like a big pot of boiling hot water. When that carrot is put into hot water, it gets weakened. When that egg is put into hot water, it gets hardened. You don't want to be the carrot. You don't want to get weakened. You don't want to be the egg. You don't want to get hardened and get that harder, bitter, you know, heart. You don't want to get all tattoos and join a gang in there. You want to be like the coffee bean that transforms the environment you're in. You have to transform prison. Don't let prison transform you into something bad, into something you're not. And so he decided he was going to make an impact in prison. He was there for 7 years. He was addicted to meth, burglarizing homes. He got 65 years in prison, but he gets out in 7 because of good behavior, gets on parole, And now he's out for the last 3 years. He's speaking to Alabama, Georgia, Clemson. Dabo Swinney actually told me about him and his message. That's how I heard about the coffee bean. I said, man, that's a great message. I got to reach out to this guy. This should be a book. I Googled. There was no book on the coffee bean or this analogy because everyone's dealing with pressure, right? Everyone has expectations. We got all this negativity in the world, and this is a story about being a coffee bean, transforming your environment, not allowing all this stuff to impact you. And so, yeah, Damon and I did it together. We haven't even ever met in person. We talked on the phone.
Right.
We had a great conversation. We actually wrote the book, came up with the idea, what we're going to write about. It's a 20-minute read, and it really is helping a lot of teams and organizations to be coffee bean.
Well, how did you, like, I mean, honest to God, how do you, like, that's brilliant on your part, honestly, to figure out that there's an idea here, there's a something that I can turn this into, this story of this guy in prison, and make it fascinating and make it a New York Times bestseller. What in God's name prompted you to do a book about some guy addicted to meth? I mean, it's just crazy, but it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's not brilliant and on my part. I think I just saw that this was a message that needed to be told. I have been sharing a lot with professional and college athletes talking about inside out, right? The power is not outside. The power is inside. And even like Russell Westbrook, when I was at Oklahoma City Thunder and I'm there and I was talking and they said, you know, what has a bigger impact on a team, home field advantage in baseball or home court advantage in basketball? And I said, neither. When you know the outside just is noise, you create inside out. That's where the power is. You know, that's how you have the impact from your spirit, your passion, your joy, your love. That's how you create. Russell said, that's what I think. He said, most of the guys in the league believe in home court advantage. He goes, I know it isn't true. I just go do what I do and play my game. And the point was, when I heard the coffee bean, I realized that is the perfect analogy to share the inside out message. So I knew it was something special.
John Gordon with us. So of all your books that have been so successful, which one has been your favorite, like that like meant the most to you and that changed your life the most? Because all of them have been so fascinating. Which one did you like the most?
Well, Energy Bus has changed my life the most because it has sold the most and allowed me to really get into the most teams and organizations. But I would say probably the most special is definitely Training Camp, which is about an undrafted rookie trying to make it in the NFL, and he gets injured and has to learn the winning habits that separate the best from the rest. And he has to overcome his fear, find his faith to become all that he's meant to be. And I just love that because I think it's the journey that we all have to go on, mm-hmm. overcome our fear to become all that we are meant to be in this life and on this journey, whether you're an athlete or someone in the professional world, we'll all have to deal with that. So for me, I think that's the most special. Damian Lillard actually read that book twice. He read it twice before his rookie season, reached out after his rookie season and said it really helped him realize how hard he would have to work to make it in the NBA to see the success he has had. I know it wasn't an accident. He put the time and effort in to work hard and really be great.
So, John, let me ask you about, West Point is it's iconic. And it's a place that people have no idea what goes on there. But my thing is, when you went there, how did that work out for you? Because, you know, these people, let's just face facts, they don't take advice too well up there. They call their own shots. They make their own rules up there. They run things their way. They don't, like, outsiders. I've seen the Yankees go in there and spend a day with them and, play baseball with the guys and things of this nature and be close to the cadets and see what it's like to live their life there. That had to be an unbelievable experience for you. And that they let you in there to do your thing, is that not about accurate? I mean, it would seem strange for them to, like, open their doors to the outside because they don't really listen to anyone.
It was a huge honor, and they are a leadership factory. They said that the history we teach is about the people we have taught. Think about that. The people who have gone to West Point literally have created history that they now teach. So going there, definitely very humbling, and I even asked them, like, what can I share that they haven't heard before? Like, this is the place where leadership is developed. Like, I felt almost, like, unqualified. Like, what do you want me to share? They said, John, we need positive leadership. Like, we need to, you know, even though we know leadership, we get down. We allow circumstances and events to challenge us. So we really want you to talk about positive leadership. And a lot of our young cadets, you know, they are just developing as a leader. So speak to them like you would any other group, because they need to hear these messages as well. And I think we're moving into a place where even the military is looking for ways to enhance collaborative leadership, to get people to work together in teams and become stronger teams. And here's the key. You'll never have commitment without connection. So when we talk about how to become a connected team, to become a committed team, I believe that's for everybody.
All right, so I got to fly to L.A. on, Carver High, next Thursday morning at like 6 a.m.? I got to go get I got to get one of your books, because I like to read a book when I fly across country. I told you I read Tillman's book when I flew to Vegas a couple weeks ago. Which one should I read, do you think? Energy Bus, Training Camp, the Positive Leadership book? Which one do you think I should go get before I go on my trip, John? Give me the juice.
I think The Power of Positive Leadership, if you're interested in Dabo and Sean McVay and Dave Roberts, who I've worked with the Dodgers, right, and just understanding like their leadership style. Alan Mulally, who turned around Ford when he was a leader in 2006 and they were losing $14 billion. I mean, really just cool stories like that of these leaders and how they've led. And again, talking about, it's not Pollyanna positive, right? It's the real optimism and belief that allows us to turn around organizations and teams.
So last question, John. I'm a Pirate fan my whole life. I'm from Pittsburgh. And when you walked out of there after you spoke with the Pittsburgh Pirates, yeah, and you got in your limo, did you drive away and think, let me just ask this, Christ, that team's never going to win? And then, end quote, or was there like a more positive thing going on there? Because we haven't won in like 100 years, and I'm about done with it. Like, what did you, when you walked out of that building, what did you think of that bunch of losers?
Well, I never think that, but I do love Clint Hurdle. And that organization is really great about building a culture. I was there a few years. They were having some success, and they were on the cusp, right? I think that they got great people in the organization.
That they're about to fire all of them.
Sometimes you need talent to win, right? Sometimes
yeah,
it's also about talent. Like, no matter how positive we are, you got to have talent. Working with the Miami Heat, great culture, amazing people. But if you don't have, like, the guys that are top in the league, you're not going to be great no matter what you do. The fact that they were almost a game away each time to make the playoffs the last few years, that says a lot given how much they were doing. Pirates, I understand your frustration. I do. I would love to see them do better knowing Clint.
Yeah, I like Clint Hurdle a lot. I think he might be doomed, though, with everything that's happened. John Gordon, great stuff. Check out all of his books and certainly The Coffee Bean, and you can check out every other book he's done. He's got an incredible cachet. The Energy Bus Training Camp, You Win in the Locker Room First, Power of Positive Leadership, Power of Positive Team. John, a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on the bench. I appreciate your kind words about my days in Atlanta. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio. Continued success, my friend.
Thanks. Huge fan, and this was just a highlight of my life to be on with you. Thanks so much.
You're the man. John Gordon, the great author, New York Times bestseller. Check out The Coffee Bean in bookstores.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS is the number to get on the bench. Did you see the end of that Tulane game? How crazy was that? How do you give up that play if you're
both
Houston? The fake play and then the winning touchdown. Like, they threw a 20-yard pass. Guy caught it, and three guys missed him, tackling him, and a guy broke free and ran into the end zone to win the game. Unbelievable. How bad are you? You're 3 seconds away from overtime, and you let that play happen? I mean, what were they at, about the 40-yard line when he threw it, and this guy caught it at about the 25 or something and then ran in? Unbelievable. Just terrible defense by Houston. Awful. I mean, honestly, how bad was that?
I don't know whether it's penalty flags or whether it's just trying to show people up or whatever, but we talked about it before in earlier weeks. I think on the Thursday Night Football game last week, we were talking about it with the Panthers. On that play right there with Tulane, you see, like, no one wraps up anymore and actually tackles anybody. They just try to knock you down with, the momentum, and that's it. Like, you got to wrap your arms around the guy and put him on the ground.
Right. I thought, and how about the trick play that they got suckered into? That was just bad.
Yeah. I mean, we fake kneel and hand it off to the guy. It's one thing if you're, trick play is going to get some yards. Maybe you're not expecting that, but that he gets all the way outside the defense and gets, like, another 20 yards.
I mean, when you're up 28-7 and then you let them come all the way back, tie the game, then you let them kick a field goal. The guy barely makes it by an inch over the pole, the goalpost. it went right over the top of it. You couldn't tell if it was in or not. It was just right over it. So you just gave it to him, right? I guess that's good. And then you go down and get to the, like, 2-yard line, and you can't punch it in, and you have to kick a field goal and tie it. And then you give up those two plays. Like, why even go on the trip? I mean, you just went and roasted a game away with your stupid plays. They butchered that game. Houston should have won that game, and they just gave it to him the entire way. From halftime on, they just gave it to him.
Not a good start to the Holgorsen era in Houston. Of course, lost last week at home to Washington State, got blown out by Oklahoma in the first game, and now tonight, you got to beat Tulane. I'm sorry. You're Houston, you're Holgorsen, you're trying to get going here.
They weren't even favored in that game.
You can't lose.
Now, I had Tulane, right?
I know they weren't favored. That's even worse.
But do you remember when it opened up, Mafia? I had it at like -1, and then it went to 5. Why? Remember it went to 5 from like 1 or 2, right? It was like -2 originally when I put it up.
Right, when you looked at it Sunday when it first came out, for some reason that line shifted heavy in the first couple days
right.
of the week.
It went from like 1 to 5.
Yeah.
And then I bid on the 5, right? But tonight you're saying I went 8 of 9 in baseball
bets.
7
in baseball.
7 of 8. I thought there was 9 games. Oh, maybe there's one going on right now. I don't know.
You're right, 8 of 9.
8 of 9. I went 8 of 9 in baseball bets. And then I hit the Jaguars to win and the getting 1.5. So the double cover there. And I hit Tulane to win and then had them at -1. And then when it went to 5, I bid on that like a fish. And I took the 5. I thought it would middle for sure because I thought it was going to overtime and that one of them would, like, win by a field goal or something. But either way, Tulane gets the win down at that old Tulane Stadium where they've had 3 Super Bowls back in the day. You remember? I remember when the Steelers beat the Vikings there in the Super Bowl.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I mean, what do you need to know? PharrellOnTheBench.com is the best handicapping service in the world. That's just all there is to it. You can think whatever you want. You can hate me all you want. Do whatever. Have a sandwich. 8 of 9 in baseball tonight. A 2-0 NFL. Hit the Jags to win and getting 1.5, and I split the Tulane game. I hit the wave on the money line and lost that 5 on the spread. But listen, I mean, what do you need to know? What do you need to know? I mean, do I hit enough games for you? Do I hit enough bets? Do I make you enough money? PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up. If not, you're an idiot. I mean, honestly. Let's just get real about it. I mean, all I do is make people fat stacks. That's it. Boom. You don't like it? Go to bed. How about this Gardner Minshew? He really is unbelievable. I mean, is this even happening? Is this like some kind of dream we're in? Dream state? Because this guy was playing at you know, Washington State for Mike Leach. There's no one on the face of the earth that would have thought he would be some starting quarterback in the NFL or that he, you know, this kind of fell in his lap. Foles breaks the clavicle. They bring in Minshew. And I think he's been spectacular. I mean, all things being equal, in, you know, the previous games, they lost. And, you know, I guess in the Houston game, they lost 13-12, but he was 23 of 33 for 213 yards and threw a touchdown. No picks. Got sacked 4 times. And then, what was it? In the game against Kansas City, he went 22 of 25 for 275 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, got sacked once, had an unbelievable rating of 122.5. The Houston game, 97.2. Tonight, 20 of 30 for 204, 2 TDs, no picks, no sacks, a 108.2 rating. I have to tell you, Carver High, the guy has thrown for over 600 yards and in 2 starts. I mean, the other game he came in after Foles got injured. You cannot deny... he's the second quarterback in franchise history with a pass TD in his first 3 games. He's done all of that. He's already thrown 5 touchdowns. You got to admit, the guy's been phenomenal. I mean, to this point, people are falling in love with him, too. I don't even know. I won't say when Foles comes back, they didn't pay him all that money to not play him. But they got a problem now because this guy, the fans are falling in love with him.
Yeah, no, they really are. And it's, you know, he has a lot of personality, too, which is, you know, when you're playing – like he did tonight, and you win a game, and and he's been pretty good since he's come in. And then you also have this personality that the guy's got. I mean, he's a wacky dude. He's fun. Like, it's
– and he's humble.
The fans are going to really get into that because you love that stuff. When you get a guy who – you know, listen, you have great players on your team, like, the, you know, the Trouts or the Jeters, but they stand up there and they just – you know, they give you nothing, and they, you know, they're great players, and you root for them, and you love them. But when you get a guy who comes in, and he's got a little bit of juice, a little bit of personality, you have a little fun watching the guy, and you can tell that he's having fun, you kind of gravitate to those guys as well.
So, in the middle of all of this, as they're just celebrating Minshew after the game on NFL Network, they've had him on the air for, like, you know, a half an hour with his whole family, all of his friends, their friends.
They just want a party. I mean, it's just like a party.
Even Maurice Jones-Drew is there partying with him. But in all honesty, the Ramsey thing is hanging over this franchise and in that locker room. Now, he has obviously demanded a trade, but he said it has nothing to do with my teammates. I love them. It has nothing to do with the city. I love it here. Still doing charity work here. Still out with the fans, signing autographs, taking pictures, whatever. I love the city. I love my teammates. It's much more than that. It's the front office and the organization. So he just hates the organization. I mean, how quickly do they should get rid of this guy as soon as possible. He's like a, you know what he is? He's like a fire. He's like a fire in the clubhouse.
Well, especially after the game he just had tonight, I mean, his value just went up even more. You already had them asking for at least one, if not more, first-round picks. The guy had 9 tackles tonight. He just became even more valuable because you saw what he can do, even better than he's done so far this season.
Yeah, he had a good game.
I mean, how many times a cornerback have that many tackles? Usually that's a linebacker or, you know, defensive lineman. The guy's coming from the outside getting all these tackles.
Do you think so now they're saying that they'll get rid of him before the Denver game. They play at Denver next, so that it'll happen in the next week, which is kind of throwing darts at the, you know, donkey's rear end, isn't it? Like, oh, it'll happen within a week. Thanks for that update. I saw a reporter tonight saying this deal should happen in the next 7 to 9 days. Thanks a lot for that. Thanks for that.
You mean between now and the next time they play?
Yeah,
is that kind of where you're going?
This chick on ESPN said, yeah, a source told her it'd be. Now, listen, I can top it. She said it'll be within the next 9 days. And she also reported that Kansas City, Baltimore, Minnesota, Oakland, Philadelphia, and Seattle have all made inquiries. And every other team in the league has also called them. She did a great job of covering every single team in the league wants him. What a horrible reporter. Like, I mean, narrow it down a little bit. Not every team in a league. And he'll be traded in the next 9 days. Thanks so much for that crappy report you gave us tonight.
Well, with the way they played on Thursday night,
I don't want to say her name in fear of getting sued. Because if you make fun of anyone now, you get sued, don't you? If you make fun of some woman, I'll get sued, won't I? Because she's such a crappy reporter. Would that be all right if I made fun of her?
They're even saying in some of the reports that some of the teams that are interested in him because of them playing on Thursday night, and obviously the deal not being done because he's playing tonight. Some of them were asking the NFL, like, if we trade for this guy after they play, can he still play for us on Sunday?
Wow, that he would play Sunday?
They won't. NFL said no, players only have to play one time a week, so he can't. But some teams that were interested were thinking about doing that.
No, but everybody else can play twice a week. You can play on Sunday and Thursday, right? Everyone else can play twice a week. Remember, don't they have games
on
Sunday?
They can play Sunday and Thursday, but not Thursday and Sunday, apparently.
Well, that makes no sense. Is that not just backwards, what they're doing anyway? Every player in the league has complained about the Thursday night games, have they not? I'm not complaining tonight, hitting both ways, Jags to win and getting the 1.5. Michael in South Carolina, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scott Farrell, how you doing, man?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Scott, big game Saturday. Can Michigan win on the road and beat Wisconsin?
Carver, I think so. He's betting on Michigan to win that game at Camp Randall, and I think Wisconsin can beat him. I really do. If they pound the rock with Taylor all day and Michigan can't stop that guy, Wisconsin can very well win that football game. Now, the number went from 3 to 3.5. I got it at 3. I don't – 3.5, you start getting a little sketchy there, that hook, because that could very well be a field goal game. I have this weird feeling it won't be. One of the things that's been interesting for me over the years is – how little respect Wisconsin gets, frankly, in their college football program. I mean, you know, you don't hear anyone ever saying they're afraid of Wisconsin, right? Or that they're, you know, this highly ranked team that covers, or they, you know, they win on a road, they win, you know, they play for Big Ten titles and everything else. But they do. They do all of that. They do everything. They win big games. They crush teams. They've destroyed Miami a couple times. Not that they were good or anything, but they have beaten anyone that you put in front of them. And they get no respect. And frankly, if you think about it, Wisconsin has had so much success, in my opinion, over the last 10, 15 years, and I think more than Michigan. Michigan has failed every single year. I mean, one after the next, they have flopped and lost to Ohio State, what, 14 out of 15 years? I mean, if you lose to Ohio State every year, your season's a waste of time, isn't it? Isn't that what they say in Ann Arbor? If you lose to Ohio State, you had a crappy year. Well, they lose to them every year. So don't tell me Michigan's better than Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's been the one winning all the big bowl games and playing in Big Ten championship games. Have they not? So they get no respect at all. And I think frankly, I think they're a better football program these days than Michigan. And I think they have been for a while. And that's just all there is to it. Now, I think Michigan, you know, could go up there and win the game. I'm not saying that they can't win the game. I'm not feeling it. I'm really not. So what do I know? I think Wisconsin, that guy Taylor's a bad mother Forreller. I'm telling you what, have fun trying to tackle him all day, because they'll run it down your throat.
And those guys on the offensive line, like, that team always comes in with a strong running back, and you know that's going to be the focus of their game, and still they just get guys that are just so big and strong in that offensive line that they're going to do it to you anyway. You can load up the box. They're still going to run it down your throat all day, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Leonard Fournette had 6 catches in that game. I thought he looked good, and he carried it 15 times for 66 yards. I thought he had a good night, a lot of plays, and he had quite a load. So I haven't seen him look really good in a couple years, right? He's been injured so much, and I think he's been ineffective. But I thought tonight he did a lot for him. I mean, nothing was staggering, but you know, he ran the ball 15 times and he caught 6 passes. I thought he had a big piece of that game tonight, to be honest with you.
Well, they talked a lot coming into the season about how he recommitted to the team, lost weight, dropped like 20 pounds, that he's the lightest he's been since he came in the NFL, and that he actually wants to play football again. Like, he was checked out last year, it seemed like. He was heavy. He just didn't care. So it's a big difference for him this year. And you were talking about Minshew before. I mean, we talk about the numbers and how good he is, but his numbers should have been even better tonight. Like you talked about, that Westbrook should have been a touchdown right in his hands in the end zone.
Right.
There were a bunch of other ones where he threw it to guys and they went to go move too quick because they're not a great team and these guys aren't top-level talent, that they're moving before they really have the ball in their hands and drop it. He should add another couple completions and at least another touchdown.
I agree with that. I thought some of the play – I said before, I thought Westbrook's drop in the end zone was embarrassing. I mean, you know his teammates are making fun of him in the locker room after his drops, like Butterfingers. I have to ask you, though, I thought Marcus Mariota – now, he slung it 40 times, 23 of 40 for 304. Don't be fooled by the numbers. He was terrible.
He sucks. Let's just flat out lay it on the line here. That guy – is never going to get it done in this league, ever. And I'm not just basing that off tonight. He was horrible tonight, like you just said. I'm basing that off the last couple years.
He's been horrible.
He's either hurt or he sucks. It's never anything else.
He was 19 of 28 against the Colts for 154 yards. That's embarrassing. And I took the Colts in that game to win in Smashville. That was a great bet. And then he loses tonight. And in the Cleveland game that they won, he was actually 248. He was 14 of 24, so he's literally been stinking it up at around 57-58% completions this year. And I got to tell you, if you're throwing at 58 in the NFL, you suck. I mean, honestly, there's guys throwing 78-80%. Guys like, you know, that are just – that complete every pass they throw practically. And then this guy, he's completing barely over half of his passes.
We talked to Ballpark Franks about it before the season started, how they brought in Tannehill to kind of push him and let him know, like, there's finally someone behind you that can take your job. Not that Tannehill had a lot of success in Miami, but that he's actually a legit backup. He might be taking over the reins at some point this season. They're going to draft somebody.
I'd play him next week.
I'd
play Tannehill next week. That guy is no good. Honestly, when they win their football games lately, the last couple years,
it's because of Henry.
Well, either their running game or their defense. Their defense won the game in Cleveland in week 1.
Right.
The Browns committed 1,000 penalties. They had a couple pick sixes off of Mayfield. He kept throwing them the ball. Their defense and the stupidity of the Browns won them that game in week 1. These last 2 weeks, their offense has been garbage.
But you don't think that they have the onions to bench him?
They
after
don't.
Three
of course
games.
They don't.
They're
they don't
play
have
him.
The onions to bench him.
They're
going to play him. I'm saying I would play Tannehill next week.
Now, you know how they are. I'm surprised because they go, and I bet against them tonight and won, but you know how they go from winning to losing to winning to losing to winning to losing? They have a good game, bad game, good
game.
Who
are they playing next week?
Next week they play at the Falcons.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. They win a big game in Cleveland, then they lose a couple games that you think they're going to win, and everybody will bet the Falcons next week off of these two Titan games.
Right.
You watch. They'll go down to Atlanta and win like a 20-17 game. That's what they've done for the past couple
right.
years. They always do it. I can't believe I'm saying this because I just said how much the guy sucks. Their run game and their defense will win them a game in Atlanta next week.
Yeah, and I think the penalties and sacks really hurt them tonight. I mean, that their offensive line got just totaled by the Jaguars. And it was just, you know, a party down in Jacksonville tonight. And they needed that because that was their first win. So now everybody's got a win in that division. That's it. Houston's 1-1, Indy 1-1, Jacks 1-2, Tennessee 1-2. So,
and they had a chance at having more. Last week, if they go and kick the extra point and go to overtime, they had a lot better chance to win that game. They could have beaten Houston. But instead, Rome made the dumb decision, and now they're only 1-2. They could be leading that division right now.
You mean the Jags?
Yeah.
Yeah, they blew that game.
They went and tied it up. All they do is kick the extra point and then go into overtime.
Yeah, he went for two.
He went for two and right up the middle and they didn't get it.
So do you got a problem with Doug Marrone going for two and going for it and then they come back and win? So I mean, at least they're going for it. Like what do they have to lose besides nothing? They don't matter.
Even tonight they went for it on like fourth down when they're up 20-3, kick the field goal, then you're up by more than two scores. Instead he takes the risk and doesn't get it.
All right, we go to the third hour of the Billy Idol Hour of Love, 855-212-4227. What games do you want to talk about for Friday, Saturday, Sunday? We got you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.